You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
So much has happened in 2010. Wars throughout the world, acts of terrorism, a troubled global economy. In this country, major pieces of legislation passed through Congress, followed by a reordering of the political deck in Washington. And although there is so much to talk about as the year draws to a close, we thought the best approach to covering everything might be to be economical about it. Over 300 listeners submitted entries to our Sum Up 2010 in Six Words contest, and today we will speak to seven of those winners. Not everybody won, actually. But we had a lot of great entries, and we are joined now by Larry Smith and Rachel Fershleiser, the editors of Smith Magazine. They've also worked on numerous collections, including most recently It All Changed in an Instant, More Six-Word Memoirs by Writers Famous and Obscure. Larry and Rachel, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. Welcome back to our show.
You do.
It's great to be back.
You read all 300, was it 300 submissions?
We've learned to read six-word memoirs very quickly.
Aren't you grateful that they were only six words? Reading 300, full essays.
When we do our 6,000-word memoir contest, I'll set aside a lot more time to choose winners.
And the goal in the contest was to sum up the entire word in six words. Have you put yourself to the test?
I've been thinking about it, of course. I thought about my six words, which is a little bit about the past year and the year coming, which is made a book, working on baby.
Mm. Working on baby.
Well, the work, most of the work is done. Baby's coming very soon.
And Rachel?
For my year in review for my personal life, I went with achieved impossible trifecta, job, apartment, boyfriend.
Oh. Well, so these are similar to the kinds of things that we received, actually. After reading all the entries, did you notice any particular theme or idea that came through in most of them?
Well, I thought it was interesting to see that some people interpreted it about their own year and some people interpreted it about the world at large. So you had a lot of my job, my mom, my sister, and then you had a lot of Obama, Palin, Tea Party.
In fact, one of my producers took all 300 submissions and ran them through a word cloud generator, and the results are on our show page at WNYC.org. Obama came up the most used word in all of the entries, and I guess we shouldn't be surprised.
No, I mean, you see in the six words of year in review and on the site, you see the big things, Obama, healthcare, Tea Party. But I think I was a little bit surprised at just how strong the technology vibe was. We know it was a big year in technology, but a lot of your listeners are obsessed with WikiLeaks.
Mm. Although the economy came up in a number of these submissions, and I guess we shouldn't be surprised by that either, given that austerity was the most looked up word online this year. Did you know that?
I did not.
What about Sarah Palin, Tea Party, healthcare, death panels? Did they come up a lot?
They did. I mean, and the ones that I enjoyed the most, I think, were the ones that tied together those big concepts with people's individual lives. So things about unemployment or about healthcare for your own child, ways of turning these huge stories and making them personal, which is sort of what we love about six-word memoirs in the first place.
I could not stop checking Facebook. It's both your personal story and a tribute to the man of the year.
And we have a number of surprisingly personal ones, even more personal than the two of you came up with. One was coin toss between menopause and midlife crisis. Of course, that's a bit cheating. Two hyphenated words to make up the six.
We embrace hyphens. We've had a lot of fights about this through the years, but we're going to take creativity wherever it comes.
It's a great six-word memoir, six words in review, because it's very personal, but it's also very funny. When a six-word memoir like One Cavity, One Tooth, Life's Cruel, if someone does that, you really just love that they're having a good time with it, being very personal.
Another without a name was Made Love at 50th Reunion. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Well,
I mean, it really
a lot of our
sets the mind reeling.
A lot of our people think of smithmag.net as this hipster site, but a lot of our community is over 50, and you get great six-word memoirs like Hotel Sex Still Rocks Over 50.
Lady Gaga also turned up quite a bit on our cloud, getting more mentions than minors, unemployed, iPod, and Jesus. I'm not sure what we can
You never want to mess with that bigger than Jesus thing.
I think Lady Gaga had a better year than Jesus.
Okay, well, the letters should be sent to Smith Magazine. Let's talk to some of our winners. We're joined now by our first winner, Sandy Hemmerlein. She had two winning entries this year. And Sandy, you're making a habit of it, aren't you?
I think they referred to me as one of the super users of the site. So I'm kind of an avid six-word memoirist.
And you won our six-word resolution contest last year.
I did, and it's somewhat related to one of my winners this year.
What was the resolution last year?
The resolution last year was end my 20-month dry spell.
And the related submission this year?
Well, it's sort of related. It's lost 50 pounds, found myself underneath.
Nice work.
On the other hand, you had another one. The other winning submission was went from self-employed to unemployed. That's rather sad.
It's sort of the balance of the universe, right? When one thing goes right, other things go wrong. But that's all right, as long as they keep shifting back and forth.
Did you enjoy being self-employed?
You know, I 2 years ago, I actually quit a job for a lot of personal reasons. And I was very successful in that position. So I've actually, over the last 2 years, gone from being employed to self-employed to unemployed. But in the last week, I've just gotten a job offer. So things are on their way back up.
Well, I was wondering if there are any jobs that require being able to write succinctly.
Absolutely. I do a lot of marketing, and, you know, there's a lot of copywriting involved in that. So everything kind of goes hand in hand.
Well, congratulations two times.
Thank you.
I hope as your career takes off, you'll stay a power user.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's good to keep writing in times of, you know, in times of change, in times of positivity, and not just about things that have gone bad. So, you know, losing 50 pounds is a major accomplishment, and I was glad to have that be part of my year in review.
So you actually had your New Year's resolution fulfilled.
Yes, I did, and not too far into the year either.
Rachel, I wonder how many of the other resolutions that were submitted last year were fulfilled.
I think not many. I'm very impressed. I never keep mine.
Sandy, we're going to move on. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
And joining us now is Dana. Hello, Dana.
Hi. Hi, Leonard.
Your submission was also about the economy. You want to read it?
Sure. Got master's, moved home, permanent intern.
Permanent intern. Now, what's your master's degree in?
I have a master's degree in city planning.
Uh-huh.
And I got my degree in North Carolina, and I grew up in Brooklyn, so I'm lucky to have parents who would take me back in.
You think you could city plan something about this blizzard?
I don't know. We didn't do much emergency management preparation in my coursework.
Maybe the mayor should have hired you before this whole thing happened.
Right.
How long did you spend trying to find a full-time job?
Well, I'm still looking for one. So, you know, I graduated in May, so it's been about 7 months, but I have, you know, I think there's an irony in that I have three part-time jobs, so I'm actually quite busy, but
are they jobs or internships?
They all have the title of consultant, but they pay at a rate that's more similar to an intern.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they don't, the pay schedule is fairly erratic or sporadic, and they obviously don't come with benefits or any sort of long-term guarantee of work.
Well, so I think, though, if we look back at the time capsule of 2010, you know, your story is going to be one that is a similar story. It really reflects what's happened. It's not unusual, unfortunately, but I think if we look at the time capsule of 2011 or 12, hopefully that will be a less common story.
Unless you work in media.
Right. Well, I don't know. I think, you know, my six-word summary was personal, but I think that it also reflects a lot of what I see in the job market, you know, just as a job seeker, with a lot of organizations seem to be replacing many of their jobs with interns or consultants. And, you know, I have friends who work for major corporations who are permanent freelancers.
Yeah. Although there is the other side to that. All of my staff began as interns on my show. And at least in theory, we hope that an internship will lead to a job. Any possibilities?
I think so. And, you know, I think that I would be in a much worse mental place if I hadn't been keeping myself busy with these jobs while I was looking for a full-time position. So I'm grateful for that.
Well, good luck on the hunt.
Thank you very much.
And another entry that we all enjoyed, by the way, was May You Live in Interesting Crimes. The author was unable to join us this afternoon, so we can't ask which crimes he's referring to.
We can all imagine.
Well, it's obvious what you liked about that one.
Well, yeah, a six-worder where you can reflect on a motto or an expression people know, but give it a little personal twist, or in this case a public twist, is very smart.
It is interesting that he was the only male winner. Did you look at the proportion of male to female submissions?
I tried not to look at the names when I was reading through them, because I do recognize some of the names of power users from Smith Mag. But in general, we have a lot of women on the site, and a lot of teachers and librarians, and obviously men are in those jobs too. But I think I read some statistic that some very large percentage of women think they're going to write a book someday. I just think that it's like a very popular pastime.
Well, more women read books than men, so right. It's more likely they're going to want to write them.
So many of these six words in review and so many of the six word memoirs in general are very honest and open. We feel very lucky that people give so much of themselves. And maybe it's a stereotype, but I think women tend to be more expressive, or at least on the web.
On the other hand, this is kind of like what we get from headlines, as it did. Headless body found in topless bar. That's a six-word headline, one of the most famous ever, written by a man.
Well, we see six words everywhere. The last six words of the Coen Brothers movie True Grit is six words. I just hear them. The subway. If you see
Wait, what are the six words?
Don't tell us.
I can't give it away.
It was about time passing
very quickly. On the subway, if you see something, say something. Six words. We just see them out of the sky now.
So six words is ideal. Hemingway came up with the six-word limit, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, it comes from that original story. When people ask us why six, it's true because it's for sale, baby shoes, never worn, is the original Hemingway story. But there's definitely a magic in six. For such a small number, it has so many combinations that you can do two threes, three twos, one, 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 one. You can do the whole sentence straight through. And there's a music to it. And that's why I think you see it so many places.
Well, the Hemingway story is really sad. Most of these submissions are kind of funny, aren't they?
Yeah, for this contest especially, I think people are trying to sort of put a clever spin on the year. But as we collect memoirs overall, I think that we do find people saying a lot of sad things, things they just need to get out of their system or share with the world.
Let's get one more guest in here. We're joined now by another winner, Colleen Goodson. Her submission was – Colleen?
Hello. My submission was Salinger Waked, Haiti Quaked, Oil Caked.
Well, that covers a wide range of things.
And no doubt your interests.
It does. Salinger, is a favorite literary figure. And I was affected, by his death simply, because you have a writer like that who puts out something wonderful and doesn't write anything else anymore, there's always this hope in the back of your head that, he's not dead yet. He's going to put something else out there. And then, he dies and you're left with a little bit of grief over it.
Well, there still may be books that will be coming out now. He just seemed to be weird in the late years. And who knows when somebody goes through the house what they're going to find, or goes through his computer or whatever.
I hope they check the refrigerator crisper.
But it is interesting that this submission rolls off the tongue but also rhymes. Were there a lot of submissions that rhymed, Rachel?
A little bit. There's a lot of just that word play, and some that we'll see later that I think sort of rhyme that we'll give a pass for because they're clever.
The Bob Dylan type rhymes.
I wanted to know actually from Colleen, did you mess around with the words a lot to try to get it perfect, or did it just appear in your mind?
No, I played around with it a little bit. It was a little bit challenging to try to find something that rolled off the tongue conveying, the three, major events where I think grief is kind of the universal theme.
Right.
And it just kind of, it took a couple of hours. It wasn't something that just popped into my
head. I want to see the outtakes from your six-word memoir and get the director's cut.
But even punctuation can change your feelings. So you didn't use an exclamation point. You just used periods, which makes it a little bit more somber in a way.
Commas, semicolons. I mean, there's just so much to think about.
Thank you so much for talking with us, Colleen, and congratulations.
Thank you.
And we will take a little break and come back with more of the winners to our six-word summation of the year 2000 contest. With us are Larry Smith and Rachel Fershleiser, the editors of Smith Magazine, and also the editors or what do one call it? Collators?
The curators is the word of the big word for 2010.
Most recently, It All Changed in an Instant, More Six-Word Memoirs by Writers Famous and Obscure, more meaning there was a previous one.
There were three previous books.
We'll be back right after this. We're back with the editors of Smith Magazine, Larry Smith. He named the magazine after him. I don't know why he didn't name it after Rachel Fershlizer.
Fershlizer magazine. .com is still available. So,
and they're here because we challenge our listeners to come up with a description of the past year in six words. Not six words or less, six words.
Exactly six words. Because, you know, going back to the Hemingway legend, six words inspires us, and five is just not enough.
We're going to go now to the fourth winner we're talking to, Janet. Hi, Janet.
Hi there.
What did you submit?
I submitted the following: bed bugs, earthquakes, overeating, Snooki eclipsed, Wiki leaking.
Now, how did Snooki make it into that rather serious list?
Well, I think I was going from the small to the sublime.
Or the ridiculous.
Was the near rhyme intentional?
Absolutely.
Overeating and Wiki leaking?
Yes, I'm a sucker for near rhymes. And had I been able to rhyme something with Bernie Madoff, I'd have put him there too.
Really tough would be Assange, right?
That's right. That's right. Or British Petroleum would have been a reach also.
Many submissions simply listed events that happened this year, but unlike the others, you also did end with a punchline.
Uh-huh. Yes, that's what I was going for.
Are you a big fan of Jersey Shore?
No.
she's dropping the ball this year or something, right?
She's inside the ball? I don't know.
I think Snooki's – I mean, I don't get that upset about much in this life and world of ours, but Snooki dropping the ball has kind of really pumped me out.
You know, Snooki is one of those generational things. If you know Snooki Lanson, then you obviously won't appreciate the current Snooki. Do you know Snooki Lanson is?
Oh, yes.
Like
yes, I go back to that. Yes.
No, he wasn't a gangster.
I have no idea.
Yeah, well, this is a generational thing. You want to tell him who Snooki Lanson was?
I'm not sure.
He was on the hit parade, remember? He was one of the singers?
Yeah, the name kind of stirred up things, but I wasn't sure.
I think it was Giselle McKenzie, Snooki Lanson.
Yes.
Those are the good old days.
Yes, my sister forced me to listen to that program on in the morning.
Did you have any problems with bed bugs?
Not myself, but I know people who were really obsessed with bed bugs this year, understandably.
I had them in 2002, way before they were cool, so I'd like a little credit for that.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much
for submitting. It is interesting that WikiLeaks didn't come up that much in these submissions, even though it was a major story. Do you have any idea why?
Well, I think WikiLeaks came up a little bit, but not as much perhaps. You know, WikiLeaks, certain things which the media has gone crazy about, WikiLeaks, bed bugs, the Ground Zero mosque. It's interesting. I think that the six-word memoirs sort of reflect what really happened. So we don't see much on the Ground Zero mosque because, in fact, it was a non-story.
Our next winner is in Gainesville, Virginia. How did you hear about the contest?
I heard about it by being on Smith's Magazine's six-word memoirs way too much.
Yes.
I'm addicted to writing the six-word memoirs.
Lee Giza? Is that how
me.
I put it?
Power user.
Exactly right.
And your submission was very New York.
Mine was not about Lady Gaga, as you might expect, but about Green Day, the band. Mine was Green Day on Broadway. Oy vey.
So, Lee, should I assume that you won't be going to the Spider-Man musical?
Probably not.
I laughed out loud when I read that one.
See, if you're going to pull the generational card on me, Green Day is mine. You guys, you need to back off.
Oh, well, I love Green Day until they made this decision to sell their music to Broadway. I don't know. To me, it's like punk rock and Broadway just, no, just they don't go together. So I did not go to that show, and no, I will not be going to the Spider-Man show either. So,
are you a musical theater fan or a rock fan?
I am not so much, more of a music fan. In fact, I write a little music and sing a little music and follow music more than I need to. But that's how I got on this track with the Green Day memoir.
Do you consider all rock musicals a big mistake?
I'm old enough to remember when The Who came out with Tommy, and while it was pretty good, I still think the concept was a little bit, I don't know, pretentious or something. And I guess to me, it's up to the bands themselves to know whether they're doing the right thing. But in my humble opinion, no, stay away from Broadway if you're trying to be cool.
just last night, I had a discussion on the rock opera and its place in society and history.
And what conclusion did you come to?
It was probably not long for this world.
Well, most of them, the Who, Tommy, that's an exception, really, because they came up with it as a concept album that later was produced
after that. So yeah.
Well, the theory,
but the others
that
have been that people have come up with shows and then they've taken rock songs or they've written ersatz rock songs like Hair, which is not really rock music.
Well, the theory was that iTunes is killing the concept album and thus the rock opera. No concept album, no rock opera. So good or bad, hard to say.
And I'm guessing Green Day is probably laughing or crying all the way to the bank. So they don't care about my six-word memoir in the least.
But we do.
I have to express my feelings.
Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, and happy holidays.
Rachel, other pop culture items that came up included Lady Gaga's meat dress and this one that I liked. Michael Vick, Doghouse to Penthouse.
Right.
Now, he has really gone to the penthouse. He's just been selected to be one of the starting quarterbacks at the Pro Bowl.
And sports has got to be Larry. I got nothing.
Well, I grew up outside of Philadelphia, so I think the Michael—
Lost last night, by the way.
That was tough. But the Michael Vick redemption story is a great story. I actually was a little surprised that we didn't see more Six Words on Review on the Michael Vick story or the Yankees not getting Cliff Lee or a number of other amazing things that happened this year.
Well, when I first heard the name of that group, Green Day, I thought it was a typo that it was Green Bay. And because obviously sports are more important to me than I'm not sure if I heard a Green Day song, I would know who was singing it or performing it or whatever they do.
Well, you weren't in high school in the 90s.
That's true.
I think you can get those tickets half off these days to the American Idiot Green Day show.
We have Janet on the line. Hello, Janet.
Hi, Leonard.
And your submission?
I could not stop checking Facebook.
Yes.
Which is really embarrassing because I'm a teacher and we're not allowed to do that at all.
Are you on Facebook while you're in the classroom?
I have that 5-minute passing time, and that is just enough time to check Facebook. And one time I got sucked down looking at my Facebook, and my students came in. They're all seniors in high school, and I noticed they were all looking at their phones, which they're not allowed to do, and they were all checking Facebook, and I just figured we'd just all fallen down the rabbit hole together.
Do your students ever friend you?
We're not allowed. That is not allowed until they graduate from college.
Oh, you have rules about this sort of thing.
Yeah,
see, now I feel old.
Yeah, they had to come up with rules really fast because the kids wanted to friend all the teachers, and the teachers were really nervous.
Now, when I was a kid, you could bring an apple to class on the first day of school.
Yeah, and that's what happens.
But of course, now Apple means a computer, doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah. They the first week, they look you up online, and they friend you, and it's like, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I'm not allowed.
Now, that's like socializing with them?
But you know, I don't want the kids to see me with a cocktail or, in any sort of embarrassing position, and I don't want to see the kids doing anything embarrassing.
Now, why can't you stop checking it?
Because I just love to see what people are doing. I don't play games. I don't do any of that. I just look at what all my friends are doing, and I also am fascinated with some of the people I work with who I never talk to, but I know their thoughts because they put them all over Facebook. You know, so it's like sharing without really talking. I guess that's terrible, but it's actually a lot of fun too.
Would it have been your BlackBerry a few years ago?
Maybe, but I never got into a BlackBerry. But I'm thinking, what else did I really get sucked down like this? I guess when email jokes first started, you know, and everybody would pass the same joke, and then it was the YouTube video, and this is just an easier way to do it.
Well, if you put that six-word memoir, I could not stop checking Facebook on our six-word memoir Facebook page, I bet you'd get a lot of likes. It'd be the ultimate meta scenario.
Is this the first time you've done something like this?
Enter a six-word memoir? Oh, yes. I heard, I was listening to the radio last week. I heard it, and I wrote, at first I wrote, I can't stop checking Facebook. And then I said, I need six words, so I broke it up. But submitted it in seconds the first time it came out. It was like, bam, that's it. That's the one.
We often say that your first instinct on a six-word memoir or story is your best one.
It's interesting because, you know, they asked the seniors last year in my school to write six-word memoirs for their yearbook pages.
Cool.
It's that popular. And
the so seniors, that could have been, I could not stop checking my yearbook page.
Right, right. Well, I don't think they want it to be labeled like that, so they let the eighth graders do it. And the eighth grade, you know, the seniors are way too cool to be. No, this might be a fad. And I don't want to be remembered for this. So they let the eighth graders, and the eighth graders went right there. It was perfect for them.
Well, we have a separate site called Smith Teens, and the behavior is so different than the adults. Like teens do, and seriously, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 six-word memoirs because they treat it like a daily diary.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree. I absolutely see that. Interestingly, I can't get the kids to talk anymore. You know, it's because all they do is text. That it used to be that they would, you know, talk on the phone and talking was easier. Now you put them up in front of the classroom for an oral report and they look at they make a PowerPoint, they look at it and they go, yeah, that.
Maybe you're raising a generation of writers.
Yes, that's it.
Well, we're going to give you a sneaky lesson plan, which is have them do a six-word memoir, then say each kid has 5 minutes to do a backstory. We do that at live events. It works remarkably well.
Oh, that's really great. I like that. Yeah, come up with who wrote this.
Well, congratulations on this one.
Well,
and
thank you.
And Janet, you know, restrain yourself, okay?
Okay, I'll try.
You have a little break now, don't you?
Is there an intercession?
So can you look at your – are you taking more time to look at the Facebook page?
I hate to admit how often I do that, even on my break. I'm like, well, I got to walk around, shovel some snow. Oh, I'm back at Facebook.
Somebody needs a six-word resolution.
Yes, get out of the house. And I don't know, shovel. Get out of the house.
Shovel.
Shovel. There you go.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
How about I need more friends right now?
Virtual or real?
That's a very sad plaintive plea, isn't it?
Well, there's a great Facebook six-word memoir. Husband won't confirm Facebook status.
Ooh.
That one always kills me.
You did one for our fundraiser. You just came in and after the break and put it in front of me. Give more, get more, pledge now.
It's an excellent resolution.
Yeah. Well, we have a final winner. Our final winner is another New Media six-word summation of 2010. Galia Abramson, welcome to our show. What was your summation of 2010?
Hi. I wrote, Kanye tweeted all the important stuff.
So true.
Such as?
Oh, you know, really important things like I specifically ordered Persian rugs with cherub imagery. What do I have to do to get a simple Persian rug with cherub imagery? Ugh. Really existential crises that he went through this year that I think all Americans went through.
It's been a tough year for everyone.
Really, it really has.
Do you tweet?
Do I tweet? Mm. Yes. I think Kanye, because I remember there was like this whole to-do over him starting to tweet, and I was sort of very hesitant to join the Twitterverse. I believe that's what they call it. I don't even know. But anyway, my friends do it, so I thought, you know, let's see this. And following Kanye West has really, it makes my day sometimes. So I think it's worth it in the long run.
Well, I've wondered about following some people where they tell you what they're having for dinner. Why, if they called me and they told me, you know, I just had dinner at such and such a restaurant. I started off with the shrimp appetizer and then had the lamb stew for the main course.
I probably would hang up. I do these little experiments with friends where I'll follow a friend who's eating shrimp and at the barbershop for a week. Maybe they live in San Francisco, and we're not going to talk on the phone that much, right? And then I just get a little window into the world. Then I stop. Mm. Then I pick somebody else, maybe Shaquille O'Neal, for example, our friend in Boston.
And what do you learn from Shaquille?
Oh, Shaq's the best. He is very, very – well, I learned that Shaq's a very funny guy. And he'll invite Twitter followers to meet him at a diner, and he picks up the tab.
Oh, that's nice. He was on the show many, many years ago when he was just leaving college, and I predicted that he was going to be a superstar in the NBA.
Good work.
One of the few predictions that I've made that have actually panned out.
Could he even fit in this room? He's a very tall man.
It was a different studio, but he had to actually duck when he walked down the hall.
We don't need to duck.
We've had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had to duck as well. So those were low ceilings. And why are we even doing this? I'm thinking about tweeting and six words. Smith, it seems to me that would be a perfect marriage.
We actually started out on Twitter in 2006 when no one had really heard of us or them because six-word memoirs are the perfect size to fit in a Twitter message. And you used to get one six-word memoir a day tweeted to your cell phone. And it was a great way to get started. And now Twitter's really taken off.
In our defense, I think, you know, we our Twitter feed is at Smith Mag, and we do tweet a couple six-word memoirs a day, but not like hundreds, because who wants them all? We really do believe in like curating things. So you use these technologies, you know, you learn to use them in moderation.
So what qualities are you looking for from people who are sending in six words? Sincerity, pithiness, being funny?
Yeah, I mean, I think you need honesty, you need specificity. The very sort of vague, like, life is so hard for me today is not nearly as interesting as, you know, I got a parking ticket and then I stubbed my toe and then my mom called and nagged me for an hour and a half. So I think that even the very mundane things, when you break them down so specific that people can relate to them, you're going to get the best result. And I love wordplay, and if you can make me giggle, then of course I'm going to.
And I think the biggest word, whether you're talking about six words or 6 million words, is authenticity. You can really smell a story that feels true. There's a six-word memoir that really gets to me always, which is it's in our new book, Can't Look at Heart Donor's Picture. Mm. And you want to think about the backstory, and that's a really powerful small story, but it's a big story.
I can't look at the pictures of those kids with the cleft palates that
Yeah, no, it's super intense. And I'm sure that if we search for cleft palate on the site, there's probably a couple of them because people tend to go with the most intense parts of their life.
Well, are there certain events this year that you think really lent themselves to being captured in six words? Or do you think that our 300 submissions pretty much cover the full range?
Well, that's what I love about checking the site every single night is the biggest events or the smallest events. If there's the Oscars the night before, you're going to get a bunch of memoirs about that. When there's the Tonys, when there's a football game or a blizzard. I mean, I think it's that, you know, people say our culture runs so fast now and it's a 24-hour news cycle. So I think to some extent, whether it's the Obama presidency or it's the last episode of Mad Men, you're going to see that reflected in six-word memoirs because it's just one of the ways people are reporting their lives.
I have one that I would have written the other day. Rex, the Jets break my heart. That doesn't mean anything to you, does it, Rachel?
I think it's great.
Rachel posted on Facebook recently, why do so many people like sports? And I was like, Grace, did you catch that play action on the last
Jets
down?
But if you want to talk more about Broadway musicals, I got you covered.
Oy vey.
Hey, it ain't over. Six words from Yogi Berra for the Jets. It ain't over till it's over.
I want to thank the two of you so much for being with us again. And I'm sure we'll be talking about some more six-word things in the future. Larry Smith, Rachel Fershlizer, the editors of Smith Magazine, their most recent book, It All Changed in an Instant, More Six-Word Memoirs by Writers Famous and Obscure. And my great thanks to all of you, all 300 of you, who submitted your six-word entries to sum up the year 2000 in just a few words, and thanks especially to the people who won and who we just talked to.
Thank you.
We're very grateful for all of them.